feeling yourself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Healing yourself. Well, that's a good subject. It seems as though all of us from time to time have a need to heal ourselves. All of us from time to time have a headache, we have a hurt, we have cancer, we have influenza, we have pneumonia, we have broken legs, we have, I can't think of things, I don't want to think of things either, but we have all sorts of stuff like that. And we want to heal ourselves. And we talk to people and we say, we want to heal ourselves. And people look at us and say, well, you're in the healing game. You should know how to heal yourself. And we say, well, we wish we knew how to heal ourselves. We can heal everybody else. We can't heal ourselves. Well, how do you heal other people? Well, you just tell them that they're whole and perfect, and then they're supposed to believe that. Well, why don't you tell yourself that you're whole and perfect and believe it? Well, because I'm different. I hurt and I'm not supposed to hurt. I'm supposed to heal. You know, I'm supposed to get everybody whole and perfect and not have problems myself, you know. And so this morning I turned over in bed and my middle right toe on my right foot, my real middle toe, my right foot, felt like it was very painful. And I thought, oh, come on now. And then all of the ideas of the painful toe went through my mind. All of the possibilities of what might be wrong with it, all the possibilities of what could be the difficulty of the toe. And then my mind says, oh, shut up. And I went back to sleep. Well, when I woke up, I did my energy massage, and as I was doing my energy massage, I gently massaged my middle toe on my right foot, and on the corner of the middle toe, I found a little piece of toenail which was sort of broken away a little bit, and it every time I'd turn over in bed, it would catch on the cover or something, and you know, feel terrible, feel like I'm going to have to lose a toe or some other stupid thing, you know. And so I got up after I finished my massage, my energy massage. I got up and I went to my desk and I took out my little clipper and I put it to the edge of the toe there and clip, and it was gone. And then I ran my hand back and forth across it. There was no pain. There was no catching. There was nothing there. Well, now, in my mind, I'm sure, unfortunately, a lot of thoughts went through my mind as I felt that pain. Oh, no, it can't be this. It can't be that. It shouldn't be this. It shouldn't be that. Oh, my goodness. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Oh, you know, so I changed my mind. You know, I have to put positive thoughts in motion and put those things. And then, but you see, we're our own worst enemy. I know better. I know better. All I had to do was say, all is in divine order. And then, Sylvia, what would you do if you had a hurt on your toe?
I'm whole and perfect.
You'd look at your toe.
Oh.
Wouldn't you? And you'd find that there's really nothing there to hurt except the toenail was clipped off in the wrong way.
Okay.
You see, you look. You don't say, oh my God, without looking, you know. And this is what we do. We don't look. And we say, oh my, I felt such a terrible pain in my leg. I felt so bad. And then I sleep. And at night when I'm sleeping, I sometimes curl my hands up under my chin, you know, sort of snuggling into myself there. Uh-huh. And so I wake up in the morning, my hands are a little stiff for some reason. And you, oh my goodness, you know, what's happening here? You know, am I getting arthritis? Am I getting all these things? No. So the next time I went to sleep, you know, which would be the next night, you know, I cuddled up like that again. Because I was real snuggly. And I said, hey, hands, you snuggle comfortably. Don't shut your blood off. Don't stop circulation. Just snuggle comfortably. There's nothing wrong. You don't have arthritis. You don't have any of that stupid stuff. Now stop it. Stop thinking about it. Stop empowering it. And start realizing that you're whole and perfect. And so I went to sleep. And I woke up in the morning. And I felt just so good, all of my whole body, every part of my body. There's no arthritis, there's no rheumatism, there's no nonsense, there's none of that stuff. It could have been. Name it and claim it. I had named it and claimed it other times, and I have to stretch my fingers and get them back into condition again, you know. But hey, it's not arthritis, it's not rheumatism, it's not any of these names that we like to give these things. But it is those names that we like to give those things when we give them the name. Now, it's just as simple as that. We cannot have anything that we don't name. And you say, well, I didn't know the name of something that I had. Well, what did you know when you had it? What was the result that you found out when you had it? You can go to most reliable sources to check you out, and you might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you usually are. Now, what's the most reliable source you can go to for healing, to heal yourself? What's the most reliable source you can go to for healing yourself? The most reliable source you can go to is your divine self. Hey, divine self, I got an ache in my leg. What's going on here? Have I got arthritis or rheumatism or gout or some other stupid thing, you know? And my divine self said, oh, where have you been lately? What sort of company have you been keeping? Have you been with people who have rheumatism or gout or any of that problem? Yeah. Are you associating with that sort of thing?
No.
Well, what about people come in for, ask for treatments and they have those things? Are you associating with them?
Well, I tell them they're whole and perfect.
But do you believe it? Or do you believe that you're just putting a nice sugar coating on the condition so that they'll feel better? You don't believe it, do you? What do you mean I don't believe it? You wouldn't have a hurt of that nature if you didn't believe it existed. Now, if you believe it exists, if you believe it has the right to be, you empower it. And when you empower it, then you experience it. And when you experience it, then you have it. Now, do you want that?
No.
Do you want that? Well, then, don't ever tell me you're ill. Don't ever tell me you're sick. You tell me, Herb, my middle toe on my right foot, it hurts and it's going to be this and that and the other thing. And I'll say to you, hey, I've got a whole book of things that it could be. Would you like to read them up? It's put out by the medical society, you know, for treatments and how to handle things, you know, how to handle this, that. Hey, here's a whole bunch of good words, you know, big, long words that you don't understand and, you know, really neat words, you know. And that's why they give the doctors these names, the ophthalmologist and all that sort of gynecologist. They have all these names for the doctors that nobody understands. Well, now, why do they do that? Well, for two reasons. One reason is they want to make the doctor look important. And the other reason is they don't want you to know what the doctor is doing, really. And you look it up in the dictionary and you don't really find the definition of it. You find a definition, but it's never what they really do. Now, what is it that a gynecologist does? He works with mamas who are going to have babies, you know. Mm-hmm. He works with the people who are in preparation for procreating, you know. Mm-hmm. Either they're going to have sex, or they're going to have baby, or they're going to have whatever. And so the gynecologist works through the whole picture with them. Now, if the gynecologist is worth his weight, then the people who go to him will say to him, sir, we're going to have a baby. And it's going to be the best baby in the whole world, the most fantastic baby, the most intelligent baby, the genius of all geniuses, is super good looking too. I tell you, our baby is going to look handsome. Every organ, action, function of our baby is whole and perfect, fantastic. The gynecologist would say, why are you coming to me?
Right.
Why are you coming to... You don't need me. You've already done your homework. You've already done your preparation work for having your baby. I'm sure that I'd like to see your baby when it's born. Because if your baby is anything like your enthusiasm, if your enthusiasm can remain throughout the entire gestation program of your child, wow-wee! What a child that is! And you say, yep, it's the next president of the United States. Well, is it Chinese, or is it Mexican, or is it black, you know, or is it an Indian, or, you know, what is it? Caucasian? What is it going to be? Well, I don't know. We have all that in our heritage. It could be any one of those things. Well, hey, cool, you know, a multi-being. How fantastic. Well, now, I'm joking, but I'm not. Think about this. You talk about healing, and you want to heal yourself. And you really do want to heal yourself. You have some little thing that is not quite perfect about you. And so the first thing you do is you go to a colleagueist who knows all about those things. He knows all about how they misfunction, how they badly function, how they don't function, and how they don't work. And so he will say to you, okay, let's see the severity of your case. How severely is your case entrenched in your mind, in your body, in your activity? And then, after he's done a number of tests, he finds, my goodness, it's got a good hold there. It's like that blood sucker, you know. It's just, boom, gathered on there. And, you know, there's a similarity here. How many of you have ever been in a lake or a river swimming and got blood suckers on you? Blood suckers are these little black things that sort of, they're leeches. They're leeches, and they get right on your skin and they suck the blood out. And they're not terrible. They have never really hurt anybody, but they're a bother. And so you go home. Hey, Mama, Mama, look at my legs. Look at my feet. Look through my toes. All these blood suckers. Mom says, my goodness sakes, you sure did a good job, didn't you? And so she goes in the kitchen, and what does she do?
Vinegar.
She gets salt. A salt shaker.
Salt.
She gets a salt shaker, and she says, put your foot over here, and she shakes it, and she dampens your foot first, you know. And once it's damp, then all the blood suckers are damp, then she puts the salt on there, and within a moment or two, the blood suckers fall off, because they don't want to be there. And they don't leave any damage. There's no damage to the skin. There's nothing. You don't even know the blood suckers had ever been there. But you try to pull them off, like you try to pull a tick off or something like that, and you're in trouble. Now, Sylvia mentioned vinegar, and I don't know. I hadn't heard vinegar for blood suckers, but who knows? It might work, too. But use what you got. And if you use what you got and you believe that vinegar works faster than anything under the sun, it'll work. But what I know from my own childhood, growing up at Eagle Springs Lake, we would get in there and my dad would say, okay, everybody get your tennis shoes on. And we'd get our tennis shoes on and we'd walk back and forth across the beach in front of our house. We'd go out into the lake, maybe about 50, 60 feet, maybe 100 feet, and it was up to our chest. And we were just kids, 13, 14 years old, so it wasn't too high. And we would have to walk back and forth, take the rake and walk back and forth. Well, the spring lake was ever changing, you know, there's a little current in there, not much, but a little current. And so it was taking away all that cloudy stuff and all that mud. And pretty soon we had a nice, sound, sandy, hard, firm beach. We had the best beach of any place in town. All the kids liked to swim at our place because we got all the leeches out of there and all the bloodsuckers out of there and all the other things out of there. And it was a nice place to walk. Really nice. In the winter time, my dad was a building contractor, and in the winter time, he'd go out to the lake with his big dump truck loaded with sand. What a trusting man, I tell you. And he drove that big dump truck out on the lake over the area where us kids would go swimming so that we would have a sandy beach. Mm. Now, I mean, that's a father for you, I tell you. So every year he did that, and we had the sandiest, nicest beach. But he didn't make it a wide strip. It was just to the edge of our property, and not over on other people's property and stuff like that, but it was wonderful. And you see, we didn't have to worry about blood suckers. We never did, really. And if they ever got on us from swimming someplace where we hadn't been prepared, and we'd just take some salt and put it on there. And you see, oh, that's so terrible, so terrible. Well, what do doctors do in medieval times and current times? They take leeches to suck blood out of your system. Well, now, a leech sucks blood out of your system. Okay, now, the doctor sucks blood out of your system when he takes a transfusion, not transfusion, but when he takes a blood from you, a sample, you know. He takes two or three quarts, you know. You think he's going to supply the national debt, but he takes out all this blood. Now, that's the same thing as the leeches. But what is it the leech does that the blood, that the taking the blood out that the doctor does is different? The leech inserts a certain protective substance into the body so that it will not coagulate too quickly. It will not allow any diseases or anything like that to get in. It's just, it wants it itself. It's not putting any disease in your body, whereas something else might, you know. And you step on a nail, a rusty nail, and you get bad things. But the doctor knows this. And they know that just, leech on me, you know. And that's enough to make people, you know, feel very strongly about it. And when the doctor's got your strong emotion, like that, he's got control of you. And he heals you real quick. There now, all done, you're whole and perfect now, all done. You know, and what happened? Nothing. It's just a good mental attitude that teaches you these things. And you say, oh, come on, Herbert, can't be that. Well, it is. Medicine has become more sophisticated over the years. And over the years, people used to die of old age. And their old age came early. They died in their 30s, 40s, 50s. But now you live longer. But it's not the older people who are having all the diseases. It's still the younger people who are having it and other people who have it. The diseases that we're getting are things that we think we should have because they're promoted. Mm-hmm. They're promoted in the newspapers, the magazines, the radio, the television. They're promoted by the medical profession itself. They're promoted by the healing agencies themselves. And that's all fine and dandy. But the thing is, you don't need to participate in this. Whatsoever you think about, that's what you experience. And if we can train ourselves to think we live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, when we live in this wholeness that we are, when we live in who we really are, who are you? You're divine. You're divinely made. Can you make your body, even going to a factory and having the finest equipment available, could you make a body? Yeah, you try, you know, but you can't really. Of all the things in the body, what is the one thing that is your heart put in there? The principle of life. The life principle, the life itself. Well, you can take the life out of a body, and the body can be in perfectly good shape, a perfectly good body. Oh, listen to me. Mm-hmm. You shoot a person, okay. And he's perfectly healthy. Right. You shoot him, and his life is gone.
Yeah.
Now, where'd it go? Where'd it go?
That's true.
Now, what if you take that bullet and put it back in the body and say, hey, you know, don't go away, life. Did life just go away because the bullet was in there? No, because they believe they're dead. Now, a lot of people aren't really dead, and they think they're dead. What are you doing? They think they're dead, and they're not dead. But the thing is, they think that, and so then they act that way.
That's crazy.
And people wake up, and they're in the coffin, and they're not dead, and they scratch on the coffin lid, and the coffin later has been opened, and they see that inside, and you say, my God, what's going on in there?
That's funny.
The guy wasn't dead. Well, he died. But the thing is, death is such a transient thing. It's so here and there and yet and not and yet there. And where did it come from? Where does life come from? If life is so magnificent as it is, if it is so precious, so unique and so wonderful, you can't just take it away with a bullet. You can't just take it away with killing somebody. You cannot do that. The life is always there. Now, what have we done? We have made them think that they're no longer living, made them think they're no longer alive, made them think, which we do to people. We say, okay, you're 5 years old, you're 10 years old, you're 50 years old. Now, let's see, what does the insurance tables say about how long people will live. Well, right now, they say if you're alive today, you'll live to be 105. If you are a young person, you'll live perhaps even longer, because they say, what with all of the things that science is coming up with, and it's not science that's coming up with this. It's science, yes, but it's you. You're coming up with the things. I'm living longer. I'm healthier. You're saying better things about yourself rather than saying unhealthy things about yourself. How do you heal yourself?
More than perfect.
You say positive things about yourself. How do you heal yourself? You say who you are. You say what's going on. Now, we have a thesis by one of our ladies up in
Colorado.
And she wrote a very lovely thesis. And in her thesis, she tells about her two-year-old son looking at her and speaking to her in some very mature attitudes of positive attitude. And she says, my God, listen to my son. Isn't he wonderful? No. Every kid says those same things, but it takes a wonderful mother to hear them. It takes a wonderful mother to be aware of it. How many children say that to their parents, and their parents never even hear it? They cannot conceive of their children saying such beautiful things. Like the child was telling his mother, I love you. You're a wonderful mommy. You know, you're very special. And other things. But children say this to their parents all the time, and the parents don't hear it. And the parents who do hear it and say that they hear it and tell about, oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Even I, as I read it incredulously, I read it and I thought to myself, sure, that little baby said. And then I thought, sure he did. We just don't listen. And then I remember me, Herb Byerly, Mr. Wonderful. I'll say that again. I remember me, Herb Byerly, Mr. Wonderful. I had a son. I still have a son, but now he's a grown man. He has a son of his own. But I have a son. And when he was a little boy, I had newspapers in Wisconsin and in Ohio and in Michigan and in California. And in each newspaper, I would have a column on the front page. And the column would just be little banters of things that went on in my life. And I started the column called Mark the Spark Says. And my son's name is Mark. And he's always coming up with some charming little thing. I heard it. I listened for it. And I was listening for it too, because I had to put in my column. And I would keep a few ahead. But I listened. And he would come up with some charming little statements. And some very ordinary statement that other people would listen to and say, yeah, what does that mean? And then I explained what it meant. But he was just a very astute, or I was very astute to hear what he said, but maybe all children say the same thing, but if you're not listening, you don't hear it. And I wrote a column for years and years and years and years. Mark the Spark Says. And what kind of a child did I have? I had a spark. I had a spark who really had beautiful things to say. And people would talk about what he said in my column as I would hear about it in various places, you know. And one person would say, well, that's not what Mark the Spark would say, you know. That's not how Mark the Spark would respond to that, you know. And it became sort of an idiom in the communities where I had my newspapers, because the newspaper was what people read. It was what people had taken on. Now, my own son, my own Mark, my own spark, was reaching out and touching people in the community, and I didn't even know it. It's just like our dog. Our dog is friendly with the neighbors, and we don't know it, and then the neighbors are friendly with us, and we say, well, how come the neighbors are friendly with us? You know, they're being very social as though they know us, you know. And then we see our dog go up to them and jump all over and say, do you know my dog? Oh, yes, he comes to visit us regular. We give him a treat every time he comes. Oh, you do? Is that why he's so comfortably fixed, you know? But you see, we say these things. And all we have to do is say the truth about ourselves, and we heal ourselves. Healing ourselves is not difficult. It is just a matter of consistency. What sort of life do you want? What sort of a body do you want? What sort of a wholeness do you want? No matter what your need is, if you concentrate on it, you will have more of it. If you concentrate on whatever positive circumstance you want for your body, then that's what you'll have. Concentrate on my toe, my middle toe, is whole and perfect. It's whole and perfect. You can't allow yourself to say, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, because the minute you do that, you exacerbate the problem. And there was no problem in the first place. It was just a loose toenail that got ripped a little bit. And I clipped it off and it was perfect. Perfect. But our mind goes through the gyrations of the darkness of the night and thinking of these things and empowering them to be. Healing ourselves is the simplest thing in the world if we were just dead. Because we wouldn't be thinking any thoughts. But we're not dead. We're going to live a long time. We're going to live very happy and fulfilled lives. And what we want to do is to live lives that are filled with wholeness, filled with purity, filled with goodness, filled with light. And the way to have our lives filled with wholeness, goodness, purity, and light is to speak those words. Speak those words. My mother took the salt shaker and put it on the leech, and they just popped away. The blood sugars fell off our feet. No problem. We never worried about them in the slightest. Oh, but! And we were bit by snakes and scorpions, and we were bit by all sorts of creatures that were around, because they're everywhere in the brush, and we were playing in the bushes. And we'd be out in the sun, and we'd peel off one layer of skin, usually, and get too much sunburn at first, but then we were brown bears, running around naked as jaybirds all the time, and just brown as bears all of our time growing up at Lake Cottage. And everybody else was like that, all the other kids in the neighborhood. We just lived in a very beautiful world. Healthy. We didn't know what a doctor was, basically. We didn't know what pills were. We didn't know what illness was. You scratch yourself and you kiss a wound and go on and play. And we lived in a very, you know, I think our ground, the earth, was healthier than it is today. They say you shouldn't go barefoot today because you'll pick up certain types of things with your bare feet. Well, you name it and you claim it. You take our natives from Africa and other desert countries where they live out in the desert without shoes and without clothes, and they're healthy as can be. And some die, but they die from accident, or they die from other things. But they say the death that happens to people in the world, we cannot postulate about accidents because that's out of our range. But we can postulate about other things, because when people think about colds, they get them. People think about flu, they get it. People think about problems, they get it. People are worrywarts about the terrorists and so on, and the terrorists are all around them. But the moment you straighten out your thinking, start healing yourself, your thinking, your body comes out like a rose. Beautiful, perfect, wonderful, fantastic, and whole. Join me in my perfect toe, in my perfect body, in my perfect Mark the Spark, in my perfect life. Because I love you. I love you. I love you.